if you Google it and read it on Wikipedia, it's already, I'm sure, made it there, and it's, you know, Chof Hei Tammuz, I think I erased everything, so we'll start from now. Chof Hei Tammuz Shir, Sunday afternoon, Women Shir, Shara HaBechina, Sunday afternoon, Chof Hei Tammuz, we're in the middle of Shara HaBechina, Perikei. So, the point of Bechina is to be that bridge between seeing Hashem and realizing that how perfectly Hashem made the world. And the truth is, from the exceptions, you see the rule. Because if, let's say, a baby is born, you know, Rahman al-Islam, with an illness, but then you should stop and think how many hundreds and thousands, millions of babies are born and everything does work. And you'd like this little thing can go wrong and then you got a problem. But, you know, if it would be, there's billions of parts of things in the body that have to go right. And he just described the birth process, how the head has to be totally soft and pliable just to be born. And then as it drinks milk and calcium, then the head takes on like a bony shape and gets bones and gets structure. But in order to be born, you need that. And they describe the perfection of breastfeeding and how, what a nace that is. So let's move along. You know. But everything is for the purpose of thinking about it and realizing. And now he gets into things that we never think about. Until now, biology, maybe someone could have chapped and written a book about it. And there are a lot of books out there by Talmidim of Rav Miller himself, who describe different phenomena in the universe. I told you that series of books by the fellow in England, Our Wondrous World, Our Amazing World, Designer Our Whatever World. So that's, but now he's going to start talking about life, not biology, just life. And I hope we will find ourselves saying, hey, I never thought about that. That's a miracle. That's a mace. Look what Hashem did. So we'll start off, a baby is born. Vayitnehu Elokim, and Hashem gave him, he should find, l'chein u'l'chesed u'l'rachamim b'lev yoldov. Hashem made the parents love the child. Right, the child, nothing much to look at, bald, doesn't look so great, always crying, And you gotta feed it, and then diaper it, and feed it, and you gotta stay up at night with it. And the baby's helpless, and you have to do so much, and the parents are kvelling. They like, oh, this is so geschmack. Oh, how cute. He belched. It's an ace, and it's the ace is because the Chavis of Lovers will go on to explain why a person was not born with the ability to take care of himself or herself. That is also, a person is an amazingly complex creation. And if the person would be born with seichel immediately, he or she would be overwhelmed with the world, and they wouldn't grow, they wouldn't develop, they would just be, they would die, they would be so overwhelmed with the bria and everything that's going on, and they, you know, and their helplessness, you know, they're born, they have to learn everything, and everybody, so they're born with no seichel, they don't know anything, you know. And a person is so complex, the brain is so amazing that Hashem, Hashem could do anything, he could do an ace, but there's a normal growth process, and as the child develops and matures, he develops more and more seichel, more and more awareness, he learns things, and there's a reason why at first children are very impressionable. Right, children, and the Chavis of Lovers makes a point of saying that, which is a very important chinuch point. He says children are very impressionable, and if you don't chaperein the opportunity to teach children that this is amazing, and look at the sunset, and look at the moon, and you say to them, you know, Modani lefanecha, and not just so that you could tape it and send it to the grandparents, because look how cute, but you tell the child, like, what it means. Like, you got a child, you know, I told you from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that's solid. You know, it's amazing that you're alive. It's amazing. Look, you're alive. You woke up, you're alive. And you'll say, well, but you don't want to scare the child that it might be dead. So the answer is, no, you point out to the child that the overwhelming majority of people wake up alive. People, right, just like you, they have fire drills in school. They're not afraid that the child's going to have nightmares about fires. Why? Because you tell the child, look, 99% of the time there's no fire. But we have to teach you what to do if there is a fire. So you have a fire drill. And a normal kid won't get frightened, won't get scared, won't develop a phobia for fire. So you teach a child, look, everybody's waking up. But it's a nace. It's modani lefanecha. Anyway, once he gets older, a person, as Little Chavis Mavova said at the beginning of Shara Bechina and the Hakdama, the problem is we get used to things and we feel entitled to them, and it's not a wondrous nace anymore because we're so used to it. So that everything's Bechashman, the way a child develops, the way a person develops, that there's a stage in life as they acquire intelligence and maturity. There's a stage where they're very impressionable, and there's certain things where, let's say, a 5 to 10 year old is very impressionable. If you have a kid, if it has a good teacher, the teacher could say something, and the child, like, it changes their whole outlook on life. They're very mushba by a child. There's a way to do it from, you know, 5 to 10 is a very big span of age of life. I'm not giving a chinuch class now, so we'll just say 5 to 10. And then there's another stage of, 10 to 13, and then there's another stage, I'll call it 13 to 18, and then 18 to 22, and then life's over. And it's all downhill, unless you come to Chavis Halava's class. Right? But at 22, usually it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, and they're not impressionable anymore. Like, I don't know, girls in seminary, boys in yeshivas, they could really, really turn around their lives if they have, like, some role model. It's very hard after 22. It's very hard. They become very set in their ways, and they become more cynical. This is the natural process. You become, so there's stages for everything. Everything's becheshmet from Hashem. That's what we're learning about. I know in Rav Abba always resisted having a kailo. He didn't want a kailo. He did it, later on in life, but he always resisted it. So he told me, it's not a question of money. That's not the issue. You don't have to pay. For some reason, the day you get married, you stop paying the yeshiva, they start paying you. We're not quite sure why that's so. Up till you're married, you pay tuition. After you're married, they pay you. What's that all about? But his point was, and he's right, there's a phenomenon. It's not a function of age only. A real Talmud is a bacher. Once you're married, it's very hard to develop a real Rebbe Talmud relationship. He has other things in his head. He has his wife, he has his family, he has to bring bread on the table, he has bills to pay. He's not fresh. But that's not to say it never happens. You have people married who learn quite a bit. He says there's a certain edge in a Talmud that's not there when you're married. Anyway, Chavis points out that he will point out, I'm just giving a hakdama, why the baby's helpless. Because at first, the baby is getting used to the world in its own way. It's slowly developing seichel. It's slowly developing its muscles. It develops its muscles. The Chavis doesn't say this, but Rabbi Miller said it on his tape. And he said children are rambunctious. They run around, right? They run around, they jump, they skip, they hop, You can't keep a kid down. It's to develop the muscles. That's Hashem's way of developing their muscles. Their muscles have to develop. They're young. Their muscles have to develop and become stronger and stronger. And this is the way their muscles develop, by running and skipping and jumping and hopping, and you're running after them, yelling at them not to run onto the street. And maybe it's a way of keeping the mother in shape too. Maybe she doesn't have to go to Joe's Club, Olava Shalom, or Zumba classes. She just has to run after the kid, if they have kids. Anyway, so the point is, he says, if you think about it, it's a nace that parents put up with their children. I was on a bus today. Yeah, I wanted the kid crying the whole way. I wanted to throw him off. I didn't want to sit there the whole bus ride, and the kid's crying, and the mother is like, you know, she's quelling, you know. I don't know if she's quelling. You know my point. When you hear another baby crying, you know, it's annoying, right? But for your own child, it's, you know, it's not annoying. Your heart goes out to the child. Why is he crying? What bothers him? You know, you diaper him, and you feed him, and you burp him, and you try to drink chamomile tea, and you do all that stuff. And you go to the doctor with him, and you miss a half a day's work because you went to the doctor. No one says, I got to get rid of this kid. Like, where do we? No, nobody thinks like that.
Being as a grandparent, I kind of take so much that they already gave them back.
Oh.
Not like a parent. A parent doesn't
do that. It's a nace, he says. And really what it is, and he says this in Shar HaBitachon. He says it here, but he says it in Shar HaBitachon. He says it's Hashem's love that's channeled through the parents. When you have parents' love for children, you're really seeing Hashem's love for the child and how Hashem's taking care of the child, and Hashem channels it. So the, like the rachamim and the ahava of a parent to a child is a channel of Hashem's ahava and rachamim.
Some people call it maternal instinct.
That's from Hashem, the maternal instinct. Again, the word instinct we use to cover up Hashem. Who gave a person such an instinct? Hashem.
Especially with handicapped and disabled children, it's very hard.
Yeah,
well, and the child is learning trust too.
Yeah.
See, a baby learns trust.
So that's it. This is Shara Bechina. He wants this. You see, this is not biology. This is the human condition. He wants you to realize how nisim go on all the time. Be'yavneihu Elokim, Hashem made him. Hashem causes the child to be lechein ulechesed ulerachamim belev yoladov in the eyes of its parents. Why? Kadesh lo yichbar aleihem gidulo. Because of the game plan of Hashem, that the child should be essentially helpless, mamish, to the first few years. And brainless for the first few years. I mean, its brain is developing at a faster rate than any other time of its life. I remember when there's the type of thing you only do for your first two children. So we have a month by month record log. Did.
Yeah, exactly.
A month by month log
you
of
have
what
a
they
book,
did.
You know, they yeah, sat up bubble. And the
yeah.
hair.
No, so we just kept our own record a month by month. I did it for Nehemia. Yeah. I did it for Nehemia and for Rachel, and then of course it stops. You know. That's really big stuff. I'm talking about every month, like some, and it's really, it's amazing. It's a nace. Anyway, but who made this nace that the parents shouldn't get disgusted and annoyed by this child that's causing them so much trouble? The Yargish, and not only that, not only do they tolerate the child, but they care more about the child than themselves. Which is also part of an instinct, because if they wouldn't, then, you know, sorry, kid, I got an appointment. Take care of yourself. Have a nice night. Mm-hmm. Here's a bottle and a blanket and a passy and a pacifier and goodbye. But most people are not like that. The world is becoming more selfish and self-centered, and you hear stories, but that's abnormal. V'yargishu alav yoser me'atzmon b'machol v'mishteh. They would always, you know, go without food in order to give the child food. The Yekal Be'enehem is just utterly amazing, that Kol Torchov Amal Gidulo, that all the trouble and effort of raising a child seems easy to them. It either seems, maybe it's hard at the time, but looking back, they say it was no big deal, like I raised a child. Merechitza, you're always washing it. Bechitul, you're always diapering it. He doesn't talk about the baby's always crying. And you're always feeding it. What are you doing to the baby? You're feeding it, cleaning it, pacifying it, and dealing with its crying, its constant crying. He's going to say later why a baby cries. Why did Hashem do that? Why does a baby cry so much? So in his days, the scientists thought that it was very physically healthy for the baby, and they had a whole physical explanation of why crying, what it does, and why it's healthy. We will read it. Maybe he doesn't take long. It says for the brain, there's like fluid in the brain, they thought, and the baby's crying. Like we'll see. We'll learn about it. I don't think nowadays it's gonna. We're gonna look at it. We're gonna say it's not true. But in his days, that's what they thought. That you know. He went with the science of his days. I'm sure nowadays we can come up with other reasons. Maybe I'll Google it for next time. They're like, what physical benefits are there for a baby crying? Certainly, remember the baby's nonverbal. That's poshut, that the baby's nonverbal, and he will explain why that's chesed Hashem, that the baby's still nonverbal, because the seichel didn't get there yet. But certainly the crying is ma'orer the rachamim of the mother. You, as much rachamim as there is, but there's more rachamim when the baby's crying, right? Second of all, that's the baby's way of communicating that something's wrong. So I'm not even asking about those kinds of crying. That's for sure. That's the baby's way of communicating. And Hashem amazingly made that way of communicating for a nonverbal child in punct the way that affects the mother and father emotionally. Like, you are going to take care of them when the baby's crying. Oy vey, what's wrong? They could have communicated and it not have that effect on the parents. Like, this is all the exquisiteness of Hashem's world. Ulanalo la'at. This is no... Look at every word here. It could be a parenting class. Lanalo la'at means you have to be gentle with the child. Lanalo la'at, this is from Yaakov Avinu, the words are taken from the pasuk. Anias nahalo le'iti. You got to go slow with the child. You can't like, okay, kid, here's a fork and spoon. You're on your own now. You have to be gentle. If you're not gentle with a child, you smash the child right from childhood. These are in the anomaly cases, in the cases that are the rare exception, you see Nebuch, the Paris of abusive parents. Yeah. By the Goyim, it's much more common because they have babies, just, you know, it's the welfare, you know, it's whatever, you know, so they don't care about the kid. They can let the kid cry.
That's not fair.
Oh, really?
There are many Goyim who care about the children.
I didn't say that. I said it's more common by the Goyim that you will have the rare exception. That's what I said. It by Jews, it's even more rare. It happens by Jews too that there's abusive parents. All I said was that there is an element because of the social state, because of the way things were structured in New York City. I'm thinking of, I grew up in New York City, where they had babies just as a way to collect money.
Oh, really?
And they... it's terrible. And you know, I said that the exception is more common by Goyim than by Jews. Wow. That's what I said. Of course, the maternal and parental instinct is, you see, the more people are normal, I would say the more west you go in the United States, the more west, the more they're meyachuz, you know, it's the city living and then the liberalism and the welfare system and everything that made people... Poverty is self-inflicted three quarters of the time. That's right. That's what I said. What? Absolutely. I'm a liberal. There are those that say 100%. Okay.
here in Israel too?
I'm not acquainted with the social scene in Israel. I don't want to talk about what I'm not acquainted with.
People being laid off from jobs and people
I'm talking about, which I say the word Schwarzes. I'm talking about what I grew up with when there was a Mayor Lindsay that I don't know if you ever heard of. He ruined the whole New York. He ruined New York. There was Mayor Wagner, who was good. I'm talking now in the 50s and 60s. He was good, and then a Mayor Lindsay took over like a real liberal, and he ruined New York City because of what he did. Okay, anyway, it's not Negea. Uvanalo la'at, to be gentle with the child. It's a nace that the parents know that they have to be gentle with the child, and it makes their work harder. Why? The litchos may olav kol nezek al karcho. Come on, shara b'china. The child's putting things in its mouth. It's running into the street, climbing on the furniture, and chas v'shalom falling down. The child is always prone to getting hurt. Litchos may olav kol nezek means to protect the child from being harmed. Al karcho, and you're fighting with the child because he wants to climb up and jump down. He wants to run into the street. He wants to put that marble in his mouth. So you're fighting with him to protect him from harm, and you have to do it gently. Like, the ability to do that is an ace, but that they do it is an ace. Look, he says, look what the parent has to juggle. He has the tircha, I have to read it. V'yekol beineyem, and the miracle is that it seems easy to the parents. They do it naturally. All the tircha and omol of raising the child, all the tircha of washing and crying and diapering and taking care of it when it's sick. And they have to treat it gently as at the same time they're juggling to keep it out of harm's way. And it's against the kid's will because the kid doesn't know anything, he'll do dangerous things, and he can't leave a child alone. Sometimes, you know, my children, they should be blessed and be well. They're always dropping off the kids in my house. Now, I don't care because I'm not home. But my wife's home, so she'll watch the kids, and she's become a professional grandmother. That's her new career, babysitter, which is always, you know, so. But sometimes I'm home, like Fridays I'm home, and sometimes I'm home in the afternoon, and there's a kid like crawling around the house, and I'm so scared. Like I said, you know, because they pick up everything they put in their mouths. And who knows what they could bump into, and you just, if you leave the bathroom door open, oh boy. Like they make a lunch for that toilet.
Everything they can
and,
down
and,
the toilet.
And, you know, it's dangerous. So my wife says, don't worry.
Taught us on Shabbos about the halacha of breaking down a door if a child gets knocked
in.
What happens with choshen mishpat? That's what we didn't hear. Whether they were responsible.
You mean if it's someone else's door?
Yeah, in the hotel where somebody, they broke down the door because nobody responded quickly enough. He said there was a whole choshen mishpat, whether they should.
Yeah, it's a shayla. I can't answer. It's a shayla. It's a shayla.
Very interesting.
But,
your wife said not to worry?
No, I said, don't worry, I raised 10 kids, like, they're okay, like, I'll do the grandchildren too. Meaning she keeps an eye on them, and she makes sure there's nothing small on the floor. Like, a man doesn't know anything, he goes in, I panic, you know.
I think you get more panicky as a grandparent, I do.
I know, I get panicky, I want to watch the kid every second, because like, it only takes 1 second to hurt itself.
But they also learn when... in the little bumps.
Yeah.
As long as you keep them away.
Well, this is what the Chovas Halvavas... The Chovas Halvavas will teach us that the reason you have this slow process of maturing and of gaining intelligence is you learn to cope with life. And if you would learn it all at once, it would be so overwhelming, it would just blow the mind. Now, an animal can be born...
Yeah, why doesn't it do that to an animal?
Because an animal has very little to cope with. You don't realize the scope of a person. I, in 1 hour, let's say modern day living, I walk into the street where there's cars all around, and I have two problems that I have to solve. I have to make a decision if I should go to Yerushalayim tonight or not, and if I should go by taxi and by bus. There's like a person is a world, an olam mole. If you would keep a log of the amount of decisions you make a day, of the amount of precautions you take a day, of the amount of things you have to remember, just I got to buy a container of milk. An animal doesn't have to do any of that stuff.
No, but I'm talking about. An animal just lives. Basic,
an animal has instinct.
Instincts, I'm talking about.
An animal has instinct because it's not overwhelmed.
Yeah, but they have to struggle for survival and find food and avoid.
So that's their instinct, but that's nothing. But
they
have it by instinct, and they're not overwhelmed. We have it by seichel, and we would be just totally overwhelmed if we would have to absorb all that knowledge at one time. And it's shara habechina that it takes, let's be charitable and call it 15 years, 25 years, and to mature and to get seichel and to be able to fend for themselves.
You're also not aware of time.
That's a bracha, or else they would panic after a hit. What's the bracha there? Let's go shara habechina. What's the bracha? That other rabbi, he goes with his stomach. He doesn't eat when it's 4 o'clock. He eats when he's hungry.